Welcome to Foresight Friday Roundup, Foresight Health's podcast series for healthcare revolutionaries. Outcomes matter, customers count, and value rules. Hello again, everyone. This is Dave Berta, news editor at Foresight Health. It is Friday, April 30th. On today's episode of the Roundup, we're going to talk about EHR usability and clinician burnout. What is this, 2009? No, it's 2021, more than a decade after the passage of the HITECH Act, and we're still talking about it. Specifically, we're going to talk about two new studies on EHRs and clinician burnout, and what we have to do to avoid talking about this again in 2030. Both studies appeared in the latest edition of the Journal of the American Medical Informatics Association. The first looks at the connection between after-hours charting and physician burnout. The second looks at the connection between EHR usability and nurse burnout. To explain the difference between causation and correlation are two people who I'm sure were not burnouts in high school: Dave Johnson, founder and CEO of Foresight Health, and Julie Murchison, partner at Transformation Capital. Hi, Dave. Hi, Julie. How are you guys doing this morning? Dave?
Definitely not burned out. This is birthday week in our extended family, five early May birthdays, including for my wife, Terry Brady. They collectively say you can never have enough members of the Taurus zodiac sign in the family, but some days I'm not so sure.
I've never heard that expression, but I'll take your word for it. Julie, how are you doing this morning?
Yeah, I'm well, but I'm experiencing some major dissonance with all this news. I feel totally reinvigorated by Biden just crushing the first 100 days. And then it's amazing to hear all the news from India and how it's literally unraveling and parts of Europe back on lockdown. So my brain is just, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, it is a lot to take in. Thank you. Now, before we talk about these two new studies, let me ask you about your experience using a patient portal or accessing your own medical records online. Dave, are you a portal user, or have you ever downloaded your own medical record? And if so, what was your user experience?
Well, I'm an active portal user, I guess. Never really thought of myself that way, but I'm a One Medical member, and their user interface is incredible. So it gets 5 stars from me. I also have experience with Epic across multiple institutions. It's better by institution than it is collectively, probably because it's always been a billing tool first, not a patient convenience.
Interesting. Thanks, Dave. Julie, how about your user experience with portals and online medical records? Did you get burned out?
Well, I like to say I'm a One Medical member, so I do love their interface. But the place I've probably been burned out but have also used and abused is from my kids. And our pediatrician has some sort of portal. I don't even know who runs it and where it comes from, but maybe I should find out. It is the worst interface I've ever seen. It's horrendous, but it has everything I need. So I'm in it all the time for camp and school and them.
Got it. Yeah. Sounds like we could improve something there. Now, I've never downloaded my own medical records. I know my own health problems. But at one point a few years ago, I think I had 3 or 4 different portals from different providers, and I didn't use any of them because I couldn't remember all those logins and passwords. Now I have one portal, and it's pretty easy to use. I like it. No burnout for me. Just that moment of terror when my phone honks to tell me I have a new test result.
Right. Watch out.
Yeah, it's like, put it on silent. Okay, let's talk about these two new studies. Let's start with the after-hours charting. Dave, what did the study say about the connection between physician burnout and after-hours charting? And did it make any recommendations on how to make things better?
First of all, the Journal of the American Medical Informatics Association. How obscure can these healthcare associations and research organizations get? Just another indication that healthcare delivery is far too complex and there's way too much money flowing through the ecosystem. But having said that, this is an important study given its scale, over 25,000 respondents from all 50 states and multiple types of institutions, hospitals, systems, academic medical centers, et cetera, and its ability to independently correlate relationships between physician burnout and care specialty, the level of organizational support for physician use of EMRs, and after-hours charting, as you mentioned. The main findings weren't that much of a surprise. Physicians with less than 5 hours of charting per week self-reported, lower levels of physician burnout. Physicians who believe their organizations provide good or great training and support, that's 44% of respondents, self-reported less burnout. Family medicine, hematology, oncology, and internal medicine had the highest burnout levels. Psychiatry, anesthesiology, and orthopedics had the lowest. Getting into the survey numbers, here are a few data points that I found interesting, maybe even surprising. First, the levels of burnout were lower than I expected, 8% in the top two categories, completely burned out or burnout symptoms won't go away, and 22% in the middle category, definitely burning out. That means almost 70% of the respondents experienced little or no burnout. Secondly, I was surprised that almost 60% of physicians spend less than an hour per day on after-hours charting. With all the reporting you'd hear, you'd sort of think it'd be like 3 hours a day after work. I would have expected, as I just mentioned, that the percentage spending more than an hour per day to be significantly higher. And then the third point, final point, is the specialty self-reported burnout levels were bunched together fairly tightly, with family medicine the highest at 34% and psychiatry the lowest at 22%. This makes me believe the other two factors, organizational support and after hours charting, are more predictive of burnout than practice specialty. Burnout is a multifactorial problem based on far more than in EHR use. So EHR is definitely an issue, but it's certainly not the only issue. Overall, while there are still issues associated with EHR use and physician burnout, it appears to be less than I would have expected and decreasing. That's a good thing. I expect we'll hear a different story when we get to the nurses.
I expect we will. Thanks, Dave. Julie, what's your take on the study findings and what do you think the study means for the quality and safety of patient care?
Physician burnout is something we've been talking about for a long time, and the true acknowledgement and the solutions have not come fast or easily. But I think I agree with Dave that it seems like this study would imply that maybe things are improving. I'm not quite sure that I love the study, to be honest with you. And when you look at the numbers, the percentages feel perhaps smaller than you would have expected. But when you look at the numbers that those percentages apply to, they're huge. So I wanted to take a little bit more of kind of the approach of looking at what is burnout. We know that it's associated with poor clinical care and medical mistakes, certainly caregiver attrition, that is for sure. And the estimated economic impact is supposed to be something in the neighborhood of $4.5 billion a year. So that's real money that burnout represents economically. But personally, it's characterized as emotional exhaustion and total cynicism and ineffectiveness in your work, chronic stress and just chronic negativity. So I just want us all to think about, what does this feel like when we're going to our doctor and we're in pain and we're seeking guidance and this person is burned out and here's what's happening to their brain? Burnout reduces connectivity between different parts of the brain that leads to your doctor sitting in front of you being less creative about your problem, having memory issues, which could impact your visit, and having challenges with problem-solving skills. So is that good for patient care? Who wants their doctor to be forgetful and less capable? And we know that doctors who experience burnout also themselves have increased risk of cardiovascular disease, a shorter life expectancy, and a lot of them end up suffering with alcohol abuse and depression and other issues. So we're in an interesting place in burnout because I think as an industry, we are really starting to try to address it at multiple levels, which is great. And I hope we see more studies like this that show, hopefully more hopeful news.
Thanks, Julie. Dave, anything to add to Julie's comments?
Well, Julie, just great points about the impact a burnout on the physicians and their ability to deliver high quality patient care. You would think technology is an area that ultimately will really reduce this almost to the point of not requiring any charting after hours and enhancing rather than inhibiting the ability of physicians to make the right care choices at the point of care. So let's hope the progress continues. The only observation I'd make is I think a lot of the inherent underlying reason for burnout is that the EHR systems, and almost 70% of the respondents work with Epic, are billing first, user and patient experience second. Julie and I mentioned how much we enjoy One Medical. The only reason for their patient portal is to improve the user experience. And by the way, the physicians at One Medical have very low burnout rates, very high job satisfaction scores. So given this reality that we still operate largely in a volume-driven, fee-for-service revenue environment, I think it's going to be a long time before we see hospital net promoter scores in the 80s and 90s and physicians reporting little or no burnout.
Yeah, it's all about the revenue cycle, right?
All about the revenue cycle.
All about the revenue. Let's take a swing at the second study. Julie, what did the second study say about EHR usability and nurse burnout? And why is it important to include nurses in research like this? It's usually just about the docs.
Well, first of all, it looks like this may be the first major national study to measure nurses' perceptions of EHR usability using a standard metric. Like, what? Really? So to your point, Dave, we all know that EHR usability has been extremely frustrating for physicians, but much less is known about nurses and their perceived usability. The second point here is that 98% of licensed nurses report never having been included in hospital technology design or decisions. And anyone who understands the hierarchy of clinical care, certainly in acute settings, is not at all surprised by that stat. But if you just take a step back and look at what's happening with development of care teams and trying to get doctors to practice at the top of their license, this is a problem. We have a big problem. So, you know, nursing is the healthcare profession with the largest workforce. And also, by the way, interacts with the patient more than I think just about anyone else on the care team. And they haven't been included in technology decisions. So this is also an issue because it's not just about their use of technology, but if they are having high burnout rates, the high burnout percentages applied to the largest workforce means significant problems. And we've known this in nurse staffing issues, I think, for a long time. But these researchers in particular surveyed 1,285 nurses and found that favorable EHR usability scores, which means if an EHR is working well, is associated with lower odds of burnout. And this report found that those usability scores have totally tanked. As a matter of fact, the nurses graded EHRs an F. So this is a problem because, again, burnout's been associated with lower job performance among nurses, lower patient satisfaction, nurses leaving patient care tasks undone or incomplete, and absolutely, it's associated with poorer patient outcomes and higher mortality rates. So it's a problem.
Yeah, scary stuff. Thanks, Julie. Dave, what's your takeaway from the second study? And what are some of the market-based solutions you're seeing to improve EHR usability and clinical documentation?
Well, let me deal with the second part of that question first. Technology. There was the announcement last week of Microsoft's acquisition of Nuance. So the ability to ease the task and improve the accuracy of EHR coding and data recording through voice-prompted technology and voice recognition technology is really improving. And, you know, I think that has enormous potential. Kind of an old world solution is the use of scribes to follow professionals around and get the data down so that takes the burden off the shoulders of the frontline care professional. And I guess finally, I'm just encouraged by the number of data systems that are taking a team of teams approach and pushing data in usable formats to frontline personnel, and particularly nurses, so that they can make better decisions in real time and not constantly be, you know, scribbling notes on their sleeve or running back to their computer, and all of the stress and burnout associated with that type of Keystone Cop almost activity. So I think there are technology hopes, but to Julie's points, and Julie, just terrific job summarizing a really acute problem within healthcare is the secondary treatment of nurses. You know, Daniel Pink in his book Drive on Human Motivation had the shorthand for why professionals get up in the morning and go to work with enthusiasm. He called it AMP, A-M-P, and they stood for autonomy, mastery, and purpose. Well, I don't think there's any greater purpose than caring for people that are sick or injured. So I think nurses feel a universal sense of purpose, and it's why they get into the profession. On the other two, though, autonomy, agency, and mastery of the profession, we make it hard for nurses to have a sense of control over their environment. And when we burden nurses with all of these administrative tasks and don't make their lives easier, we make it much more difficult for them to master the profession. And I think that's ultimately why they give an F rating to the system. They're mad as hell, and they're not going to stay quiet about it anymore.
All good points. Julie, anything to add to Dave's comments?
Well, I just agree with Dave that what we're seeing on the technology front, certainly with smaller innovative companies coming through, is the EHR is beginning to be treated just like another database. And you're seeing really slick, amazing interface workflow tools facilitate workflow, facilitate communication with care teams, with caregivers outside of the clinical setting. So there's all sorts of tools coming up to really simplify what the EHR has made much more complex. I can only hope that some of these tools are actually starting to address nurses. The other movement I'll say that I think is kind of interesting that has nothing to do with technology on the EHR sense is we just invested in a company called CareRev, and there are a couple other companies like this in the staffing business that are starting to really look at how do you actually just create balanced capacity in nurse staffing and at the same time help nurses get into systems that they like working for. So you're starting to see kind of a Yelp orientation around how well systems treat nurses. And that also includes their actual technology use in the healthcare setting there. So I think there's a bunch of things happening on the technology front that will really actually improve nurse experience.
Added thanks, Julie.
Hey, Dave, could I add one thing to this?
Yeah, of course.
I've said many times that I think the biggest challenge confronting healthcare is shifting away from acute care and more toward chronic care and achieving much better balance between managing chronic conditions and allocating resources into treatment of acute injury and disease. And how important are nurses in that type of ongoing day-to-day relationship with patients or members in helping individuals make better, smarter lifestyle choices? So this study focuses on the hospital setting, the acute settings, and that's obviously really important. But there's a much larger issue here, which is how do we create more functionality in the nursing profession so that they can enable them to do a much better job of preventing disease and promoting health. So I think nurses are going to become even more important in the ecosystem as we try to move to address what I think is a national crisis.
No, good point. Yeah, let's take care of the people who can keep us healthy, right? Let's make it easier for them. Doesn't seem too complicated a concept, but here we are. All right. Now, as always on the roundup, let's talk about next week. Julie, what will be the big healthcare headline next week?
Well, I'm going to combine a little bit of a build up to the best day of the year, which is Mother's Day, where I think probably we'll be celebrating a lot of moms out there. But I also think we're going to start to hear a lot more stories this week about mothers lost during COVID, and a good friend of mine lost her mother to COVID. So I think, you know, we're going to have some more dissonance in the news.
Yeah, more poignant holiday this year. Absolutely. Dave, what healthcare story is above the fold next week?
Well, I'm not sure it's above the fold, but it should be. I was very disappointed by the decision of CMMI's director, Liz Fowler, that they're going to pause implementation of the kidney and geo direct contracting programs, so value-based payment programs. I'm getting the distinct impression that value-based payment reform is not a priority for the Biden administration. And if that's true, that's a real lost opportunity and will put more financial pressure on the system sooner rather than later.
Yeah, we'll see if they're just tapping the brakes or slamming on the brakes. Hopefully the former. All right, thanks, Dave, and thank you, Julie. That is all the time we have for today. If you'd like to learn more about the topics we discussed, please visit our website at foresighthealth.com. You also can find a recording of this podcast and all our podcasts on the Healthcare Now Radio Network, iTunes, Spotify, and other streaming services. Subscribe now and don't miss another segment of the best 20 minutes in healthcare. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Berta for Foresight Health.